Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at some things by the grace of God about truth. Acts chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1 of the book of Acts chapter number 13, the Word of God says, "Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, or as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought them out of it. He brought them out of it, excuse me. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.' When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, 'Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose.' Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desire they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of them, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. The first thing I want to see in this passage, by the grace of God, is the possessors of truth in verses 1 through 4. They were, in verse 1, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, it was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. The first thing you're going to notice about the possessors of truth is they were in church. Possessors of truth, you're going to find today in 2021, if there's any possessor of truth, you're going to find them in church. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of churches out there that don't possess the truth. So you're going to find folks in different churches that do not possess the truth. But folks that truly possess truth are going to be found in church. And they were really in. Look at verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. They were in church, and they were really, really in church. They were really serious about church. You notice they were fasting? Hey, when you're fasting, you're getting serious about getting hold of God. They were serious about getting hold of the Lord. They fasted and they prayed. So the possessors of truth were in church. They were serious about church. They showed up. They were serious. They sought God's will. They were separated in verse number 2. And they were sent out. And then they were surrendered. You know how we know that? Because in verse 4 they went. It says he sent them out. And it says in verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So they were serious, they were separated, and they were sent out. You know what the problem is with folks today? Well, you'll find a lot of people in church, but they're not serious. They're not really serious about getting hold of God. And then if they are sent out, they're not serious about going. They're not sold out. There are a lot of people in a lot of churches that God has called to do a lot of things that refuse to do what God's called them to do because they're comfortable going through the routine. Now, I know this sounds familiar because we talk about this a lot, but it's a problem. It's a problem. When people show up in the church and they're possessors of the truth, if they're serious about the truth, they're going to do what God sends them out to do. Now, look, y'all. Some of y'all look at me and be like, I'm not going to Zimbabwe. I'm not talking about going to Zimbabwe. I'm talking about going to the grocery store with a tract. I'm talking about doing what God has called us to do. Don't end your race satisfied with tradition. Amen. Don't finish your course filling a pew and doing nothing for God outside the doors of the church. You possess something this world desperately needs. You possess something this world, a lot of them doubt even exists. You possess something in 2021 that the world has been rejecting for hundreds and hundreds of years, and folks are out there, they have no idea what it even is, and you've got truth. Amen. The possessors of truth will be found in church. You know, Barnabas and Saul, when the Holy Spirit was ready to send them out, they were in church. I always wonder things like this. You ever think things like this? I always wonder if there was anybody else that would have been on that list that weren't in church. They stayed out that day. It rained. They had a headache. There was something more important. I'll tell you what, it's crazy what people will do. And because people have idols. Amen. Everybody's got an idol somewhere, and something they struggle with, they put before God, and God's always trying to get them to let go of that idol and hang on to Him. But I mean, folks will miss church for all kinds of stuff. They'll miss church because it rained outside, because it snowed outside. Now look, I understand, we cancel church every now and again. We would have it online. If there's a stage 3 road warnings and stuff, you're not supposed to be on the road, we're going to stay home. If it's stage 2 and it's still going, we're going to stay home. But good night, man. People don't need much of an excuse to miss church. There are people all over the country they'll miss church. They'll be pretty regular on Sunday morning. They'll miss church because a junior had a basketball game. Amen. The basketball game wasn't until 2, but they got to get ready for that thing, so they'll miss church. Amen. You know why? Because junior's an idol. Amen. Amen. Junior is something that's more important than God. God said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. He also said, more so as you see the day approaching. We're all sitting in here going, praise God, Jesus is coming back. Well, then be in church. What if he has a sense of humor at the rapture like he does in some other parts of the Bible? And what if you're not in church and he calls everybody out just about 11:45 and he lets you be the last one? Maybe you're thinking you're going to get to finish the basketball game with Junior. And then all of a sudden you're watching people disappear. And then he takes you up out. Now that's a joke. I believe that when he calls, we're all going out no matter where we're at. But it'd be good to be in church when God calls us out. People have all kinds of idols. They do not realize they're idols. It could be their job. It could be their family. It could be their health. It could be whatever it is. They put whatever it is before. And I understand there are certain times where you just can't make it. If you're hacking up blood and you got this going on, that going on, stay home and heal up. But when you just turn your furnace on the first time and you get the sniffles, because that new filter's not quite getting everything out of the air, maybe that's not the time to skip church and go to Junior's basketball game. Amen. I know I got a lot of family members that do that. They don't even go to church because Sunday's their day. But they'll spend their day taking Junior all over the country to wrestle, to play basketball, to play football, to play soccer, to play tennis, to do whatever, to go to a competition, a spelling bee, whatever it is. They'll do whatever it is because that's their day. Because people have idols. The possessors of truth were in church. You ever wonder why some of your family members have no idea what you're talking about when you're talking about things of the Bible? They're not possessors of truth. You know why? Because they're not in church. Amen. You know, it boggles my mind how a born-again believer could sit in a Baptist church with a true Bible for 30 or 40 years and no less than somebody that got saved 2 weeks ago and just started church. But it happens. It does happen because I go door knocking and I find out people that they really don't know any Bible. And they've been in a Baptist church. They're not sure how to get to heaven. If they are sure about going to heaven, they're not sure about anything else. They couldn't rightly divide anything because they're not really in church. How in the world could you sit under the preaching of the Word of God? It's not the preacher, it's the book. The possessors of truth were found in church, and they were really in. They were serious. They showed up. They sought God's will. They were separated, sent out, and they went. God's got something for you to do today. Amen. Now, I'm not saying change all your plans. I'm just saying grab some tracks on the way out, put them in your pocket, and God will open the door up for you. Amen. He'll do that. Going to bring him honor and glory. We see the possessors of truth. We see the preaching of truth. In 5-8, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. There they go. They're preaching the truth. You know what happened? When they were sent out, they not only went, they did exactly what God told them to do, to preach the truth. You know what happened? Verse number 6 and 7, they find this sorcerer. In verse number 7 it says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. You know what happened when the truth is preached? It fueled a hunger in somebody. Because people just don't want God anymore. Have you introduced them to God? Have you given them truth? Do you brag on your Savior? Do you brag on your Bible? Amen. When the truth was preached, it fueled somebody's hunger for truth. And look what else it did in verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. It fueled the hunger in one person, and that brought out opposition. That's the way it works. And that's usually where it stops. And the opposition comes. Why? Because people aren't serious about truth. If you're serious about truth, when the opposition comes, you ought to be able to give an answer to any man of the hope that lies within you, according to that book, I'm not talking about answering everything like, you know, I'm going to explain every rightly division or divided segment of the Bible or anything like that. You ought to be able to tell them why you love Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to tell them why you believe there's a God. Not only do you believe it, you know Him. You ought to be able to tell them, I'll pray for you. You ought to be able to tell somebody that's standing in your face telling you they don't believe what you believe and you're a fool for believing it, saying, look, I know a lot of people that have been like that got saved and got right, but look, I'm going to tell you something. God is real and He's going to judge this world. He's going to judge individuals. He's going to judge you. But I can tell you how to get out of that judgment. You ought to be able, if you can't give them the Scripture from your heart and from your mouth, you ought to be able to hand it to them from a piece of paper. Amen. Very few times have I ever had anybody throw it away while I was there. They probably did later, but maybe the trash man got saved. God knows what he's doing. I'm not worried about that. But it will fuel a hunger in some folks, and it will bring out opposition in others. See, what, people just don't seem like they're hungry for God anymore. He's not been presented to them anymore. You see, there's a generic Jesus. There is a generic Jesus. You know who generic Jesus is? He's love, 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 love. He's a good man and a prophet. And that's all he is. He's a generic Jesus. People don't know Jesus Christ as Savior because he's not being presented. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what people believe? Oh, Jesus is way for you. No, Jesus is the way. He's not just my way. He's your way. And he's their way. And the reason people don't look like they're wanting truth anymore is they're not being preached the truth. Who's going to tell them? I'll give you a list of people who won't. The Assembly of God's not going to tell them the truth. Amen. The Church of Christ isn't going to tell them the truth. The Muslims aren't going to tell them the truth. The Presbyterians, they think you're elected anyway. You don't have to worry about it. They're not going to tell them the truth. The Methodists, they're drinking and stuff now. They're not going to tell them the truth. Amen. So who's left? You. You. Other people in my family just don't care. Well, maybe they don't know. Maybe you've presented to them a generic Jesus. Maybe if you give them the truth. I mean, think about it. There are folks in my family. Look, when my dad, when I lived in Illinois, my dad and stepmom and them would come visit. We went to Sunday morning, we went to church every Sunday. And we left them at our house. They wouldn't go. That broke my heart. One, they wouldn't go to church, and two, they had to spend their last few hours there by themselves. It probably hurt them that we chose God over spending time with them. But you know one thing they knew? They knew we were serious about church. We'd come home, we'd get home, we'd go straight home after church and say goodbye, and they'd drive out the driveway. I don't know how many times that happened. But you know something? When my dad passed away, that didn't bother me. You know what bothered me? Was the fact he said he was saved and he never got to live for Jesus Christ. Because he didn't go to church. He didn't possess truth. If he's saved, the truth possessed him. But he didn't possess the truth. You know what he never got to do? This breaks my heart. He never got to go to somebody and say, hey, you know what Jesus Christ has done for me? What else breaks my heart? I'll tell you what, I bet breaks God's heart. To have the truth and not be giving the truth to other people. I mean, we talk, and I thank God for that little Lucas. He's a blessing, and I love him and all that. But I ought to be just as excited, and you ought to be just as excited about Jesus Christ, or more so than your family. Oh, you wouldn't believe. Oh, man. Sunday, by 2 o'clock, Junior had scored 74 points. And we won. You wouldn't believe it. We're going to have him, we're going to call the talent scouts in. Because the NBA, they don't know what they're missing. They haven't seen Junior. I mean, nobody like Junior. LeBron hasn't even, oh man, LeBron, Michael Jordan. I'm talking about Junior, my Junior. You would not, oh, and be average. Still scored 74 points. My Junior. Talk about Jesus, they want to leave. Churchgoers. I mean, people that say they're saved. They'll give lip service talking about everything they know, all the important stuff that they've done in their mind, everybody in their family. They'll lift up all their little idols and say, look at him and look at her and praise God for this and praise God for that, and not mention Jesus Christ one time. Because they have idols. Preaching the truth, it fuels hunger in some, it brings out opposition in others. Then we see the perverting of the truth. Look at 9 and 10. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Do you see the perverting of truth? You know what it is? It's of the devil. It's of the devil. Amen. It's often subtle, which kind of goes hand in hand with being of the devil. This man was an enemy of righteousness. I was talking a little bit ago about witnessing that little girl on the porch over in Brussels, Illinois, and that grandma reaching out there and grabbing her and pulling her back in the house, said, we're not listening to them. You know why? Because she was an enemy of righteousness. She had her idol. It was sitting right there on the porch. Little Mary statue. And if she'd have walked out there and that girl would have bowed down and been crying over that Mary statue, she'd have said, oh, Lord, bless you. Out there talking about Jesus Christ, she snatches her up and says, hey, we'll have none of that here. Enemy of truth, enemy of righteousness. Perverter of the ways of the Lord. Amen. Perverter, you know, the perverter of truth, the devil's already, he's done something to the Bible-believing crowd, too, to mess us up. Because all these fake Bibles and all these perverted devil Bibles out there, you know what he's got you thinking? And if we're not careful, we'll think. The battle's all over this book. It's all about authority, I'll give you that. But it's not just the fake Bibles. It's not just the fake Bibles. It's much more widespread than that. They're not showing your kids and your grandkids fake Bibles. They're showing them a religious book, though. And they call it science. You see, in Psalm 119, let's read Psalm 119, or not 119, Psalm 19, I'm sorry. Look at Psalm 19 with me. I'll go ahead and get started while you're getting there. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What's he talking about? He's talking about the heavens preaching truth. I don't care who it is. You get a little kid, you get a little 5, 6, 7-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid, they walk outside, they look up in the sky, and they got questions. You know what they want to know? Where did the stars come from? Who made that? Who did that? You know what they assume? Somebody made it because it's there. Why not? They made everything else. Somebody made their bed that morning. Somebody made their breakfast. Somebody made their shoes. Somebody made their bicycle. And they assume that somebody made that. Before they even know there's a Bible, a wrong Bible, a right Bible, the devil's already messing with them. Because before they can even ask that question, they're being taught that all this just happened on its own. And you can't really understand. So when I tell you this fairy tale, we're going to add in this mystical, magical billions of years thing, so it'll just boggle your little mind. And by the time anybody gets around to talking about Jesus Christ, they already believe that this stuff just happened accidentally. Where'd the stars come from? Where'd the sun come from? Where'd the moon come from? Well, Genesis 1:16 tells you where the sun, the stars, and the moon come from. Where'd the fish come from, Daddy? Where'd the whales come from, Mommy? Genesis chapter 1, 20 through 22, it tells where those come from. There's the answer right there. But you know, the problem is not just the school system. It's the parents and the grandparents. Because you better be telling them the truth before somebody feeds them a lie. At least they got two sides. You raise your kids and your grandkids to believe Genesis 1. Genesis 2:7, that's where man came from. God created man. You know, they'll go to school and the school will tell them man created God. They will. Man made up God because man was afraid of death. That's what they'll tell him. And the whole time the heavens declare the glory of God, it's preaching a message. So that little whoever, wherever, on the backside of whatever that doesn't have a church to go to can look up in the sky and seek truth, and God will send them truth. So, well, those poor little people on the backside of the desert over there that don't have nothing, you know what they don't have? They don't have somebody telling them in some kind of a false science that everything comes from nothing either. They're looking up there wondering who the God is that made that stuff. You know why? Because that's normal. That's normal. For a 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old girl or boy to believe that this all comes from nothing is abnormal. It's a mess. But the possessors of truth aren't preaching the truth. It's not just about soul winning. It's about bringing up kids and the nurturing admonition of the Lord. Amen. So my kids don't go to church and my grandkids don't go to church. Witness to your grandkids. Tell them about Genesis chapter number 1 when they're young. Tell them about Genesis chapter number 2 when they're young. Tell them about Genesis chapter number 3. Tell them about Romans chapter number 3. Tell them about Romans chapter number 6 and Romans chapter number 10. Tell them about this stuff when they're young before the devil gets a hold of them and wrings every ounce of sanity out of them. So what happened to common sense? It's been educated out of people, and they start when they're little. Look at this, little Billy. This happened a bazillion years ago when nothing turned into everything. And Billy's like a little sponge. He just takes that in. He's going, man, that's programmed into my mind. Nothing turned into everything. And now you got to bring along the truth. The truth should be there first. So, well, the world don't want truth anymore. They've been lied to so much they don't know what to think because nobody's giving them the truth. God is truth. Look at the power of truth in 11 and 12. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. He's talking to the sorcerer there. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know the power of the truth here? You know what it did? It blinded the opposition. And it gave sight to the seeker of truth. So, well, nobody wants to hear it. There are people that want to hear. There are people that need and know they need the truth. That actually want the truth. And nobody's giving them the truth. You know what the devil's doing? He's calling everything Christianity. He's calling everything a church. Now, in the loosest form of the word church, a called-out assembly, that could be true. But a local New Testament church is different. A true local New Testament church is Bible-based. It's Bible-guided, Bible-directed, Bible-protected. And the devil says, oh, this is all church. So when they get up to a certain age and they think, well, maybe there is some truth out there. Maybe we didn't all come from nothing. And the devil says, well, yeah, let me introduce you to generic Jesus. And you know who generic Jesus is? He's in the Quran too. Oh, yeah. And then they got their idols. And see, since mom and dad idolized Junior when he was playing basketball, now he grows up to idolize Shaquille O'Neal that turned into a Muslim. And he grows up to idolize LeBron James, that just lost his marbles, if he had any to start with. Say, well, I can't believe my kids are that way. It's because you idolize them for doing something that they were good at. And the next thing you know, they don't want any Jesus. They worship LeBron. Amen. And then when they get older and they get kids, they're going to worship their kids, and they're going to take their kids to the basketball game instead of to the church house. Because after all, we just come from nothing anyway. Why go to church? People ought to know you're serious about the Lord. Not just because you show up in a building, but your walk ought to show it. Our walk ought to show it. Well, I don't want to upset anybody. Well, don't you think they're going to get upset when they go to hell? And when they get to the end of their life and realize their whole life was nothing but hell on earth, they wasted it. Get a hold of those kids when they're young. So, well, I'm just Grandma and Grandpa. No, Grandma and Grandpa's got more influence than you realize. Because you have truth. Amen. Potential to reach others. Look at verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. God opened that door for them. Where are they at? They're preaching truth in the synagogue of the Jews. And the rulers of the synagogue, by the power of God, by the persuading of the Holy Spirit, said, Men, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, preach on. Say on. You know how many times I've seen God open doors? Preaching the truth. Say, well, if I preach the truth, see, there's a bunch of fools out here that think that they preach a lie, they can fill a church house. Well, that might be true, but what are you filling it with? I mean, there's a week-old baby that can fill a diaper, too. So what? Amen. Smells about like some of the stuff coming out of the pulpits around the world. Amen. They think if they give the truth, they're not going to find anybody that wants the truth, so they'll lie to them and think I'm doing God's work because I'm getting numbers. And the truth is they're working for the devil. They're lying, deceiving people right into hell. They're deceiving saved people into believing they're living something worth living. When the truth is, if you're not preaching the truth and you're not living for Jesus Christ, you're wasting what God's given you. The potential to reach others with truth, God will open the doors if you do what you're called to do. Praise the Lord. Say, well, COVID this and COVID that. COVID's actually open. It's actually opened more doors than it's closed. It's opened the doors on people's hearts. I mean, there are people that are just scared to death everywhere. And if they're not afraid of the virus, they're afraid of the president. Amen. They need truth. Oh, anybody will lie to them. But who'll give them the truth? Look at 26 through 30. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, there's a problem right there. Nobody fears God anymore. To you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. The presentation of the truth. You know what they just preached there? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know who they preached it to? The Jews. Beginning of the church age, they were focused heavily on the Jews. The church started with saved Jews. They're preaching the truth to the Jews. The interesting thing to me is, look at verse 27. He's preaching the gospel to the Jews, and they rejected the truth regularly. Look what it says in verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. You know what they were getting every Sabbath day? Truth. You know what they did with it? Nothing. They were Jewish Baptists. You know why? Because they got the truth. They didn't do anything with it. Say, well, the Baptist churches are dying off. Well, they're not dying off just in numbers. They're dying off individually. Because nobody does anything with the truth anymore. Amen. Say, well, kids, they don't want to go in church anymore. It's hard to get kids to do this, hard to get kids to do that. They don't have any truth. Somebody's got to step up and give them the truth. I understand it should be their parents. But if that's not happening, then what? Just let them go to hell? No. The presentation of the gospel. The Jews set under the presentation of truth every Sabbath day, and they rejected it and crucified the Messiah. Born-again believers set under the preaching of truth every week and reject it and go out and live like hell. Say, well, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Well, what are you doing with the truth? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What are you doing with the truth? Now, I know everybody's got problems, everybody has issues, but you also have truth. Amen. Maybe you ought to pray about it a little more, about your family members that you're wondering about. Give them the truth. Send them a card with a Bible tract in it, just telling them you love them, you're praying for them. Nobody else is doing that. You still pay your bills by mail, put a Bible tract in it, send it in, tell somebody at Ameren or Duke or whoever about Jesus Christ. Nobody else is doing it. The presentation of the truth, every single week they rejected it. And some of them until it was too late. Jump down to 43 and 44. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Persuading of the believers. You know what happened? The new believers were being persuaded to continue in grace. You know why? Because they wanted to put themselves back under the law. They were persuaded to continue in grace, and guess what happened? Look at verse 44 again. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. The crowd grew. You know why? Folks were talking. The possessors of truth were preaching truth. It wasn't Paul and Barnabas that got the whole crowd to show up the next Sabbath. It was all the believers bragging on their Savior, giving the truth. Look at that again. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Invite people to church. But don't just do it because of Gateway Baptist. Tell them about your Savior. Ask God to get your heart right between you and Him and fire up that excitement that you used to have for Him. And people want to go where you're going. Amen. Amen. It's not all the pastor. The pastor gets lied to just like you do. If everybody showed up that said they were going to show up every week, we'd have to build a building. We would. Because everybody's going to be here. What time is it? I'll mark it down. 9:45, I'll be there early. And 6 months later, guess what? They're still late. It's not just the pastor. But if you keep telling people enough about Jesus Christ, they're going to want to know what's wrong with you, what's different about you. Because people going to the other church, they're not fired up about Him. What are you doing with the truth? The persuaded believers were telling everybody about Jesus Christ, and they wanted more. 45 and 46, we see the pride of the religious crowd. When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you have put it from you and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Amen. The pride of the religious crowd, they rejected God. And that is a problem. So many people are so religious nowadays, they just don't want God. But 46, they rejected God and then He turned from them. How long can you reject God before He just turns from you? How long can you resist the Spirit and resist the opportunity to give the truth where God just says, okay, don't. I'm done. And if you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, How long do you think God has to allow you to have another chance? How many chances does he have to give us? One, two, three, four? That's up to him. But here are a bunch of people that had the truth. God called them to spread the truth. God opened doors for them to spread the truth. God blessed the truth. And God grew his church. What are you doing with the truth? I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to get you to think about what you're doing with the truth. The world is run by the devil in complete diametrical opposition to truth. And your grandkids, great-grandkids, their kids, all the kids around are going to be given a lie. And if they're not given the truth, they're going to believe the lie. And they're going to believe the lie and waste their life. They're going to miss out on salvation and split hell wide open. Somebody has to give them the truth. And that somebody's you. Somebody's me. I'm just telling you because ain't nobody giving the truth anymore. Even the churches aren't doing it. But you've got an opportunity to take the greatest gift that a saved person has ever had. I'll use the word share and share it with the lost world. Share it with loved ones. What are you doing with the truth?